Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. In this chapter, we have the record of Jesus calling his disciples, the 12 disciples. It mentions them by name. And this is a prelude to his sending them out on a journey to share the gospel with other people. They had been listening to him for some time now. They had his message down, and now they were to be sent out preaching that same message to other people as well. Some of the things that Jesus tells them in this chapter are specific to this time in going out. And later on it would be a little bit different. Some of the things in this chapter I think may relate to about the tribulation time. But there are things in this chapter that relate to our sharing the gospel today. Losing your life to find it. I want to begin reading in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. And I'll read from Matthew 10, verse 34 up to our text, which is verse 39. Matthew 10, verse 34. Christ is, in preparing these disciples to go out and preach the gospel, says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." And those two verses, verses 35 and 36, are actually a quote from the Old Testament. And they're quite surprising. Didn't Christ come to bring peace? We would say yes. He's the Prince of Peace, and blessed are the peacemakers and things like that. But this is the recognition that when the gospel comes into a home, sometimes it may bring division in that home. As some follow Christ, and some, because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, will stand opposed to Christ, and it will bring division in the home. And some will not follow Christ. But he continues on. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." And then our text, verse 39. "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." My first point here. Gotta make sure I'm doing this right. There. Finding and losing your life in Jesus' day. And by that I mean the lesson that Jesus was intending to teach his disciples that day and for us beyond that point. He who finds his life shall lose it. Finds his life seeking your own way in life in neglect of God's way or possibly even in rebellion of God's way. Hope that doesn't describe any of you. But it is common today to talk about people, young people especially, you know, finding out what you want to do in life. And when you get a job, you love, here's a job, I could do this for the rest of my life. I love doing this thing. And sometimes things change in life, but you begin that way. I like to do this, what I want to do. I've given my life to be doing this kind of a thing. That is what our verse is talking about. It reminds me of a verse in Isaiah 56. You may know the verse. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." That's what we're talking about with this verse right here. Finding his life, finding his own. This is what I want to do. As opposed to, well, what does God want you to do? He that findeth his life is going to lose it, is what our text says. Now, it is possible to use this phrase, "I found what I want to do in life, I found the meaning of life," and all that related to Jesus Christ. But in this context right here, it is finding your own way as opposed to what God's way is. He that findeth his life, our text says, shall lose it. He who loses his life for my sake. He who loses his life for my sake shall find it. Giving up your desires to follow in God's way. Giving up your life to follow in God's way. This doesn't mean that you have to become a monk or spend all your time reading the Bible and praying, going to church and doing all those churchy kind of things. It doesn't mean that. It simply means that you turn your life over to God. And when your life comes under His leadership, His sponsorship, His control, His management, it means that He then has the rights over your life. It doesn't mean that you have to leave your job or leave your family or leave other responsibilities you have in life. It simply means that you see those things, your life, your family, your responsibilities, under the context of what does God want me to do in these relationships, in these situations? What does the Bible talk about for people in these kinds of situations? A wife with an unbelieving husband or things like that. What does God want me to do? I'm turning my life over to Him to follow the Scriptures to know what I ought to be doing. Giving your life, losing your life for His sake. You understand that when you give it over to God, He may take it away. He may turn it upside down. He may do things with your life, your family, your job, your relationships that you hadn't counted on and you wouldn't even choose if you were making the choice. But you're giving up your life. You're saying, okay, I recognize that He's died for me. He asked me to give my life to Him. I turn it over to Him. I'm willing for Him to lead me in this and to guide me, to direct me throughout my life. Your main concerns are no longer physical and material. How much money can I make? What can I do with all of these things? Can I get a bigger boat, bigger car, bigger house? Not those things at all. Your main concerns now are spiritual. And how can I leave an impact for Christ in my life? To the people around me, that in my family, in my job, in my relationships, what can I do that will leave the message of Christ with them? That becomes the most important thing. You've given your life over to Him. The Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And that is the attitude of this, giving up your life for His sake. You recognize that He has given you the abilities you have, the passions, the desires, the gifts. He's given you these things that you might serve other people through the church here, in the community. And in those relationships that you have, you're giving your life for His sake. And that's what He desires. The Scriptures tell us that these disciples were willing to forsake all and follow Christ. They did that. That means, in the context of this verse right here, they were willing to lose their life. And I'm certain that as they stepped out in that, there were some questions about, well, where will this lead me? I mean, they left behind a known life. You might say a comfortable life. For four of them, Andrew and Peter and James and John, we know that they were fishermen. And they knew that if they stayed fishermen for the rest of their life would be predictable. Get up in the morning, go fishing, or maybe you go at night and come back and fix your net in the days or whatever. But you're doing that. You know what your life's going to be like. But to step out and begin following Christ, there were some uncertainties. Income? Whoa, I'm not sure. Family? What about that? Well, you just read in our text right here what he says about family. If you love father or mother, son or daughter, anybody more than me, you're not worthy of me. What about these other things? How's it going to work out? Well, in the end, these men, these 12 men that this text lists earlier in the chapter, they chose to forsake all and follow Him. I believe that they'd listened to Him enough to recognize, I'm comfortable trusting my life to Him, whatever He has. James and John were brothers. James, probably the older, he's named first, and the first of the apostles to die. Acts chapter 12. John outlived all the others and lived to a ripe old age, probably in his 90s, and wrote a number of the books of the Bible. God has different things for different people. And of course, being willing to forsake all and follow him means that if he takes my life, that's good. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain, right? You don't mind dying in the service of the Lord. We're taken to heaven then. Losing your life, finding your life. This is Jesus' teaching in that day. Let's talk about losing and finding your life in Invercargill. What I mean by this is just taking this concept of losing and gaining, applied to some things, some situations we have there in Invercargill, just so you can get an idea of the ministry that we're involved in and what's going on there. First of all, our internationals. These are people that have left a comfortable life elsewhere and come to Invercargill, New Zealand, hoping to start a new life. This is actually a group of 25, well, we had 25 Indonesians there that morning for our international day. They're not all here in the picture right here, but these are all from Indonesia. We have others from the Philippines, some from China, from Korea, from India, a man from India. Most of these have come to Invercargill to study at Southern Institute of Technology, hoping to gain qualifications on the New Zealand level so they can get jobs in New Zealand, stay in New Zealand. If you come this evening, I might talk more about why they come to New Zealand, not just for jobs and things like that, because there are other reasons behind that. But they have come, they've settled in our church, and we are thankful to be ministering to them. But in one sense, they're losing a life. They've been born in other countries, other cultures. English is not the first language for many of these people, any of these people. They come here, they've given up their families, their culture, to start living in a new culture. And for someone who has done that before, going to Taiwan and learning that kind of stuff, the Lord has enabled us to be able to help some of these people adjust to life in a new culture. But they are giving up something, hoping to gain something else in that process. Another one. This is the Pugosa family. Losing to gain. And yet they might lose again. This is a Filipino family. They've worked in the dairy industry. They started coming to our church about 3 years ago. They came to New Zealand looking for better opportunities for their sons. I'm not there yet. And also just better life for themselves rather than in the Philippines. But now they face the possibility that they may not be able to stay in New Zealand. Earlier this year, the New Zealand government came out with new regulations for immigrants, and they said that those Filipino dairy workers who've been here less than 5 years may not be able to stay in New Zealand. So we're not certain about Reynante and Esther and the boys, Ray and Renz, whether they'll be able to stay. We hope they will be able to stay. They're a good hope. They're the first Filipino family and the only Filipino family. We have about 7 Filipino families that loosely, one way or another, come to our church. They're the only ones to join our church and are active in the church. Esther plays the piano. But we hope that they will be able to stay. If they don't stay, I think they will go with a good attitude. They recognize that the Lord sometimes closes doors, and though they may not be able to stay in New Zealand, God has some other place for them to live and to serve. Before they came to our church, they were very, very active in their church in the Philippines. And so they have that attitude that as the Lord opens and closes doors, they will walk through those doors and serve the Lord wherever, losing and gaining. We may lose them in our church. And this is Cherie. Cherie's been saved about 7 years. I say with her the struggle of finding life with an unsaved husband. She got saved. Her husband has not been saved yet. We've been praying for Justin for a number of years. He's very good to her and the family, to the kids, as far as the financial stuff and whatever. But he recently told her, around Christmas time, I don't want you to be teaching Sunday school anymore. And she already doesn't come in the evening service or Wednesday night. She'd love to be at church all the time. Cherie's a good-spirited Christian and really loves the Lord. But Cherie has to walk that balance between subjection to her husband and love for the Lord. And you might pray for Cherie as she would have wisdom from the Lord to know how to do that in that situation, but also pray for Justin to be saved. Cherie struggles with that quite a bit. And then do you know these guys here? Jacob and Jamie Seacrest, new missionaries that have come down to New Zealand just in the last, a little over a year ago, a year and about 4 or 5 months ago. They're struggling with losing. And I'm not saying that they're struggling any more than any other new missionary on the field. But they're struggling with some things of being far from family. And you might pray especially for Jamie. Her grandfather, Ron, Grandpa Ron, is at death's door. She's been informed by the family he's in hospice right now and is not expected to live much longer. She is working through that process of possibly coming back to the States for the funeral when that comes. This is her second grandparent to die in just a year and a year and a half that she's there in New Zealand. And they're a close family. It's hard to be away from family during these kinds of situations. But they're learning those struggles of being away from family at that time. One of the other things that they're losing, something you might pray for, is sleep. And I don't understand this one at all, but they have not slept well ever since they moved to New Zealand. Now, you know that a while ago they had a baby, Ronan. That's not Ronan, by the way, but Ronan is how they say his name there. Not like the town down the road, but Ronan. They had him in July a year ago, so that obviously brings a sleep dynamic into the home. But even before that and since then, they've had trouble sleeping. They have neighbors next to them that often get up in the middle of the night or come home late at night and things like that. But whatever, pray for them that they'll be able to sleep. One of the things that I have found in Christian service is that anytime you lose something, for the Lord's sake, you always gain something else. And the Seacrest, though they're losing some things, they do gain other things, new opportunities, new experiences, new family over there serving with us there, new friends. And so we're enjoying working with them. But let's talk about finding and losing your life in Kalispell today. These things that Jesus shared with his disciples on this day, they were part of what they needed to know as they went out to serve the Lord on that missionary expedition. But the things in this chapter, many of these things in this chapter, are meant for us today as we are disciples of the Lord Jesus, given a great commission to share the gospel with people around us. So I want to look at these things. First of all, God's will for every believer is that we lose our lives for his sake. If you're a believer this morning, this is God's will for you. Again, our text says, he that findeth his life, if you're finding your own way in life, you're going to lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. God desires that every believer lose his life, give up his life. In the words of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you give your body, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is what God expects, giving up the rights to your life. It's becoming a slave to the will and the ways of God. Do you see yourself as a slave to the will and the ways of God? Whatever God has for you. If you think about a Roman master back in those days, back in this day, a master could choose a slave, and he would choose one slave, and he says, you're going to carry my kitchen pots. And he chooses another slave, and he says, you're going to clean my toilets. And he chooses another slave, and he says, you're going to be my valet. And he has the right to choose this guy to do that thing, and that guy to do this thing, and that lady to do these things. He's the boss. He's the master. And God looks at you. He says, this is what I have for you. And it's in that context of the family that you have, the job that you have, the relationships that you have, whether community, neighborhood, or whatever. It's in that context of these things that God says, this is what I want you to do. And again, it's not necessarily giving up those things. These 12 disciples gave up their jobs to follow him. It's not necessarily doing that as a believer. It's simply giving, in this context, where God has put me, he wants us to be fully Christian. And what I mean by that, being fully Christian, is in those contexts, with those relationships, doing what the Bible commands us as believers to do. Some of those commands are easy. Well, you know them, like love your neighbor as yourself and things like that. Some of those things are like that. But other things are a little bit harder. To speak every word with grace. Every word. Speaking with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That it may be edifying to those around us. Every word. God wants each one of us to be fully Christian in the context that He puts us. Just live for Him. Be obedient. Follow Him. To be His servant means to recognize that He has chosen you as you are, and He has arranged your life as it is. Whether you have MS, Brother Dick back there, or a celiac, or you struggle with other kinds of physical ailments, God has arranged your life as it is, and in that context, you serve Him. You don't need more money to serve Him better. You don't need more health to serve Him better. You don't need anything else other than God has placed you as you are, where you are, that in this context, you live for Him. You give up your rights, the rights to your life, to Him. Serve Him. That is finding your life. In the context of our text here, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake. You give up the rights to your life, wanting the control of those things, wanting it to be like you would like it to be. You give up all of those rights to Him. Here I am, Lord. As I am, use me. The Apostle Paul said, I die what? Do you know? I die daily. Every day, the thought came to him, He's given me my life. I use it for Him. It's not me. I die daily. I live for Him. And that's what we need to do. Every one of us, every day. Again, God's will for every believer is that we lose our lives for His sake. Secondly, if you're pursuing the things that you want, you'll end up the loser. If you're pursuing the American dream, that's my life, finding your life. If you're pursuing the American dream, you may actually get some of those things, and you'll have them for a while, and you'll lose them. But in the time that you have them, God may not give you the enjoyment of them. There's a text I think of, one of the saddest verses in the Bible, Psalm 106, verse 15. It's in that context where the psalmist is reviewing Israel's history, and that was the point where they were asking for bread and more things. You know, we want bread, we want quail, we want all that stuff. And the verse, the text there says, He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Isn't that sad? You get what you wanted, but it's not satisfying. God is able to take away the satisfaction of having the things you thought you wanted. He's God. And He does that. Because really our only satisfaction comes from Him. Our relationship with Him. So, if you're pursuing the things of this life, you're going to end up the loser. You might have them, but not have the enjoyment of them. Or you just will lose them. You'll lose them one way or the other in the end. James 1:11 says, the rich man will fade away in his pursuits. That's a metaphor for the brevity of life. You got to remember, this life doesn't last forever. Finding and losing, either way you look at it, we're all engaged in finding our lives. Again, our text says, he that findeth his life. Some people, maybe some in here this morning, are trying to find his life, her life, my life. This is what I want in life. Some of you are maybe that way this morning. This is what I want. You're finding a life. You're going to lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake, Christ says, that person will find it. One way or the other, we're all finding our lives. It's just, are we finding our life in this life? Or are we finding our life in Jesus Christ with a view to eternity, something beyond this life? If our pursuits are all focused in this life, we're the losers. But if our pursuits are all focused on the next life, what can I do now that has an impact for eternity? If our pursuits are on the next life, that's finding our life for His sake. And having an impact for His sake. Having an impact in people's lives around us. And that's what God desires for us, obviously. Again, we may lose some things. We may lose some material possessions in the process. But in following Christ, no one is ever the loser, even when we sacrifice things. And sacrifices we may make are no real sacrifices if they're following Christ. This is a phrase some of you may have seen before. Jim Elliot, he was the one that said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. How many of you know Jim Elliot? Many of you know the story. He was one of those five missionaries who died among the Alca Indians down there in Bolivia, Ecuador, back in the 1950s. He sacrificed. He gave up to follow Christ, and Christ used him. Christ used the testimony of those five men to open the doors to those people, Wadawani people. And if you haven't read some more recent stuff on what God's doing among them, you ought to read, like, End of the Spear and things like that. Anyway, yeah, Jim Elliot was one who gave up his life to follow Christ. So did Jesus. The ultimate sacrifice, right? Sorry. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life. He that loses his life for my sake, he'll find it. Where are you this morning? Is the Spirit nudging you? I'm glad the Holy Spirit is alive. We had a great Sunday school class this morning, John. Good Sunday school class on the Holy Spirit in the local church. And I and your pastors count on God working. I can preach the word, but it's only the Spirit of God that takes it, drives it home. If the Spirit's speaking to you this morning, you need to give up. Follow Him. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the sacrifice of Christ. The sacrifice of other missionaries like Jim Elliot. The sacrifice of people here in this church as they serve You. And I pray Your blessing upon them, upon the ministry that they do. Father, may You use it for Your eternal glory. That's what You've given us life for. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.